Welcome to the Bridge International Church, an English-speaking church located in the western suburbs of Paris. Here at the Bridge, we are committed to helping you to discover God's plan for your life, relate to others, grow in your relationship with God, and experience life in the freedom of Christ. Join us as we listen to this week's message from the Bridge.
Before we get going on that, we have a cool video we want to show you. It's called Stuff Christians Hear About Singleness. Are you guys ready for that video? I think you're going to like this.
How are you still single?
There's someone out there for you.
Jesus is your boyfriend now.
Meet and greet's coming up. You know what to do.
The key is to act like you don't care.
It happens when you don't expect it.
Who are you bringing to the wedding?
If I was a girl, I'd date you.
Who can we set you up with?
Sorry, couples only.
Have you tried internet dating?
She looks single.
You know who else wasn't married? Paul.
All single ladies, come on.
Happens when you're not looking.
Work on your smile.
He's single!
You know who else wasn't married? Jesus.
It's okay to be a fifth wheel.
Maybe if you give God one of your ribs, he'll give you a wife.
You should change your Facebook profile picture.
You know who else wasn't married? Matthew. No, he was married.
You should meet my cousin.
Just pray about it.
Pray harder.
This series is on marriage. You don't need to pay attention.
You're not that old yet.
You can't settle.
You know, you might want to think about settling.
There's plenty of fish in the sea.
We're going to celebrate not having Valentine's Day.
If she says, you're like my best friend,
that's bad.
You should try Overflow.
Maybe she can see you tithe.
You know, when you have a wife, you can't play as much Xbox.
You should get a dog.
Have you asked Jesus for a wife?
Are you on Christian Mingle?
Have you tried this? This looks good.
I have a great book for you to read. It's called The Bible.
Jesus is your girlfriend now.
Dude, you have to get someone hot because you're going to be married to them forever.
You are going to make such a cool aunt.
It's not about you.
You know, there's no marriage in heaven.
It's all about you.
I don't know. Is he a Christian?
It's about Jesus.
I know people who got married when they were like 70, okay? You're fine.
Marriage is like a sandwich. It takes a long time.
You're not gonna meet your husband at a bar.
Do you wanna be Jim and Pam, or do you wanna be Ross and Rachel? For it is better to be unmarried. See?
Well, we have heard some of those things, haven't we? As you have probably deduced by now, the message today is on singleness, which is part of relationships. Now, what does that have to do with relationships? But it is true that singleness is part of the biblical message. And so I would just like to say to you this morning that I am single. I have been single all my life. And I'm very glad that I met Jesus in my 20s. And it's a journey. As you often hear us say in this church, we're on a journey. We're on a journey with Jesus, and I am so glad that I'm on a journey with Jesus, because he's the one and only, and he's the one and only for us, whether we're married or whether we're single. So you've been hearing a lot about marriage and friendships and family and all kinds of relationships and how to get along in relationships, and so today we're going to talk about biblical singleness, and there is such a thing as biblical singleness. I want you to know that. And on the first slide, you're going to see a scripture from Isaiah chapter 56, verse 5. And it's quite something that catches our ear. And this is a topic this morning. I pray that God will catch your attention. And whether we're single or whether we're married, I'm glad we're all together, because we need to hear this message that the Lord has for us. The Lord says to those who are single, a name better than sons and daughters, a name better than sons and daughters is yours, and an everlasting name that will endure forever, from the book of Isaiah. Let's just take a minute to pray. Father, I know that many perhaps have never heard this message this morning, and I pray that your word would come through. Lord, I pray that I would be just a voice for your word, Lord God, that your word would touch our hearts, and that we would have an understanding of marriage and singleness in the kingdom perspective. And Lord, that we would elevate today those who are married and marriage, that marriage would be elevated today amongst us that we, Lord, would recognize how special it is to be married, and that we would set ourselves apart so that we could be a beacon of light in this world. And I pray that those who are single would grasp a hold, Lord, and that you would touch their hearts and their lives and their minds today, that they would recognize how special they are, and that singleness has a special place in kingdom values. And Lord, that they too would shine and be bright in this world that so desperately needs to see Christian singles. In Jesus' precious holy name, amen. Hallelujah. Okay, well, before I begin this message, I just want to show you a couple of resources. And Barry Danilak is a very good friend of mine. He's a single guy and whole in Jesus Christ. And I think he's one of the first to have written a biblical theology of singleness. And I can certainly not cover everything. I'm going to mention some things that I have learned and gleaned from him. But if you would like to read more on this topic, you certainly may. He mentions another book called A Momentary Marriage, This Momentary Marriage, which was written by John Piper, but I'll mention that later. And then Boundaries. Boundaries is all about relationships, and it's one of those books, like Kelly mentioned last week about the book on the five love languages. You can find it for singles, you can find it for marrieds, you can find it for teenagers. It's one of those books that helps you to create boundaries in your life. And I've found that in working with university students and young professionals, this is a great need in this world today, especially in the younger generations where everything goes, right? We live in a world and we are influenced by this world, but we're in the kingdom now, and so God wants to help us to rise to kingdom values so that we can have an influence upon the world. Okay, so I want to start today by saying that of all the monotheistic religions in the world, that means religions that say that we worship one God, that would be Islam, that would be Judaism, and that would be Christianity. Christianity is the only way, the only religion that affirms singleness, affirms it as a distinctive calling and a gift and a lifestyle in this world within the community of God and of God's people. Now, maybe you've never heard that, but Christianity affirms you. Now, you might not feel that way in the church sometimes because of some of those comments you heard in that little video, because the church, unfortunately, in my lifetime, I have not heard many messages on singleness, and the church, and maybe you will agree with me or not, and different cultures do not affirm singleness. And so oftentimes we think that the be-all and end-all is marriage. You've got to get married. I don't know, you can agree with me or disagree with me on that, but I think you will know that it's, even though it's subtle, maybe it's not said, this is sometimes the case. And so I want to tell you today, singleness, it's not accidental, as it is a fundamental relationship to the distinctive claims of Christianity, because it is unique. Think about it. Jesus turned the world upside down, but it even started in the Old Testament. I want to tell you, before I show you these scriptures in the Old Testament, that I have three goals today. I want to encourage you, if you are single, and maybe you sense, hey, God is calling me and setting me apart. And it's not something, you know, that you know right away. It's something that I discovered as I continued my journey with the Lord. And I can tell you that it's a rich life, being a single person in the kingdom of God. Secondly, I want to console those who find themselves in an undesired single state. I want to console you today. And I pray that the Lord will console you, that you will see your worth and your value in the kingdom of God right now. And I want to enlighten all of us on this topic, whether you're married or single, to understand the theological significance, okay, of singleness within the community of faith and the emphasis on the new community, which affirms singleness. Now, on this slide, this next slide you're going to see, this is kind of the progression of things. The Old Testament, you know, we're on a journey. Salvation history, we are on a journey, and it's linear. You know that in the Old Testament, it was important, you know, to have a name, to be part of Israel, to be part of God's people, to have offspring, physical descendants, and land. These was very important. And then we meet Jesus' teachings. Jesus came in. He was born at a time. He came into time and space. God is outside of time and space. But Jesus came, and this actually happened in history, folks. It's not a myth. It's not a story. He came, and we're walking in history. And here we are in the New Testament church, and we have our identity in Christ, and we're raising and nurturing spiritual children. This is kind of the basis of my message today. And so we begin with this, the Old Testament times. And I want you to know that it was very, very important. You can see that from Genesis. It was very important to the people to have a name. And so they had to get married and have descendants and offspring so that they could, live on. In those days, in history, people didn't have much of a concept of the afterlife. And so it was very important that their name would live on in their descendants. And so it was, and also that they would have land. And you can see this all throughout the Old Testament. So it was very, very important. And the prophets, however, came in, and they began to refocus this. And I want to look at two passages. The first one is Isaiah 54, and one of the main verses here where Isaiah, the prophet that I like to call the gospel in the Old Testament, it even has 66 chapters. But Isaiah he announces the kingdom of God, the gospel. And you know that prophets say things that haven't yet happened. And look at this. Sing, O barren woman, you who never bore a child. Burst into song, shout for joy, you who were never in labor. Because more are the children of the desolate woman than of her who has a husband. Incredible. How could Isaiah say such a thing? And he goes on to say, you know, enlarge the place of your tent and stretch your tent curtains wide. Anyway, here we see that he is beginning the concept that the new people of God are to be created by spiritual birth rather than by physical birth. Because it's nonsense. How can a woman who's not married have children more, that doesn't make sense. On the physical level, if you're not married, you can't have more children than a woman who is married. But look what Isaiah is beginning here. He is beginning to tell us that here is an image, and it's a maternal image of a mother with her children, and it also appears often in the New Testament, referring to the church. It's a message of comfort, I believe, to those who are single or childless within the church. It's like the barren woman. Despite the absence of physical children, you know, we can rejoice in the prospect of bearing spiritual children. And we raise and nurture them in the good news of the gospel message. With the advent of the new covenant, when the new covenant was introduced, the people of God are no longer defined through physical birth, but through spiritual rebirth. We know that. We know that as we read the New Testament and we see Jesus talking to Nicodemus, for example, and Nicodemus being perplexed and Jesus sharing that message. But I'm getting ahead of myself. I'll share that a little bit later. I want to tell you my personal testimony in this vein. I became a Christian when I was a university student. I guess that doesn't surprise many of you. I was 25 years old. And, you've already lived a quarter of a century, so you have some experience, and more experience maybe in the world than in the kingdom of God. But the Lord turned my life upside down. And I knew that I knew that I knew that I knew that I had found the truth and that there was none other to search for in any other way, in any other system of thought. Oh, I had read all the philosophies. And when I'm going ahead pretty much, but when I arrived in France as a missionary, and there I was down in Chambéry, France, and I had begun to work with university students, I was 45 years old at the time, and I was just in love with the Lord and following His will. And I had a moment of reflection one evening, and I said, "Well, God, I guess I'm never going to have any children of my own." You know how you think about this, especially you ladies, maybe you gentlemen as well. Wow, I'm never going to get married. I'm never going to have any children of my own. And immediately the Lord said to me, "Suzanne, here are your children." And He started to name them: Sarah, Sonia, Joelle, all the students who were before me. And I remember I had such a tender moment with the Lord that night. And I experienced this verse from Scripture, from Isaiah. So God has filled my heart, and He's given me many more children than ladies who are married here today will ever have. I'm experiencing it just to tell you that the biblical truth is being lived out in my life, and I'm not the only one. The second scripture is Isaiah 56. And this speaks more to maybe the gentlemen who are single. And the word that is used is not one that we often hear or we like to talk about, I don't think, is Isaiah, and we begin in, verse 3 or verse 4. "To the eunuchs who keep my Sabbath, who choose what pleases me and hold fast to my covenant, to them I will give within my temple and its walls a memorial and a name better than sons and daughters. I will give them an everlasting name that will not be cut off." Hallelujah. Now, this is an incredible scripture because you know that a eunuch cannot have children. And we'll refer to this in a few minutes, how Jesus talks about this. And the eunuchs in the Jewish religion were never allowed to go into the temple, because they were not considered whole. They were not considered pure. And this is an incredible scripture because it turns everything upside down. When God tells the eunuchs who keep my Sabbath, who choose what pleases me and hold fast to my covenant, to them I will give within my temple and its walls a memorial and a name better than sons and daughters. I will give them an everlasting name that will not be cut off. What a promise. The gospel, the kingdom message, shakes things up, not only in the world, but in religious circles, folks. This is a reminder in this passage for single people and for those without children that the legacy they have as a member of God's eternal home is something far superior to any physical legacy that children and offspring can bring. God Himself is their portion and inheritance. You see, the Lord doesn't leave out those who are not married, who are not having children. He invites us all in, and it's remarkable how God has taken that. In a world full of people, my brothers and sisters, and I'm talking about the world today, who do not know God. They do not know God. What is the imperative? The imperative is to increase the size of God's family. And that takes precedence over creating our own, according to the scriptures. Okay, now you can read a lot more about all of the development of this in the Old Testament if you'd go to Barry's book. I want to move on to the second stage. Jesus is teaching concerning marriage and singleness. Jesus shook it all up, didn't he? Let's look at some of these scriptures. One of them in particular: "If anyone comes to me and does not hate his own father and mother and wife and children and brothers and sisters, yes, and even his own life, He cannot be my disciple.
Whoa.
My goodness. How do you swallow that? And Jesus is speaking to all of us because we've all been born, okay? And maybe some of us don't have brothers and sisters, but wow, this kind of, you know, puts things into perspective. Let me just read another one that he, from where he spoke in Matthew chapter 12. While he was still speaking to the crowds, behold, his mother and his brothers were standing outside seeking to speak to him. And someone said to him, behold, your mother and your brothers are standing outside seeking to speak to you. But Jesus answered the one who was telling him, and he said, who is my mother and who are my brothers? And stretching out his hand toward his disciples, he said, behold, my mother and my brothers. For whoever does the will of my Father who is in heaven, he is my brother and my sister and my brother. Jesus is changing up the scene, isn't he? He's really changing it up. And then he says in another scripture, Peter says, behold, we have left our homes and followed you. And he said to them, truly I say to you, there's no one who has left house or wife or brothers or parents or children for the sake of the kingdom of God who will not receive many times as much at this time and in the age to come, eternal life. Now, just to say to those who have families, Jesus doesn't want to undermine or destroy the traditional family. You know that. I pray that you're getting the message today. But he still affirms the fifth commandment, honor your father and your mother, honor your parents. But he does announce something totally different, and it's kingdom values. Kingdom values, my brothers and sisters, come on now. I think you can hear it in your spirit. They require a greater allegiance to Jesus than even to one's traditional family members. Some of us are here because God has called us, and we've left our family, we've left our home, we've left the lands maybe that we come from. Maybe at first we didn't know that that was God's call, but kingdom values play a greater role, folks. And this means that there's a new bond in the spiritual family, which runs deeper than even the traditional family. Our bond of mutuality in the family of God through Christ proves to be greater than the bond we have even sometimes with our physical blood relatives, unless they are in the kingdom of God with us. Jesus talked to the Sadducees at one time, and these Sadducees, I just want to summarize this passage. It's in Luke chapter 20. He talks to them because they come to him, and they're challenging him about the resurrection. You know, the Sadducees did not believe in the resurrection. And so they tell Jesus this long story about a man who marries a woman, and then he dies. And, you know, in the Jewish religion, they have something called the levirate marriage, where you have to have your brother marry. And so the story is that seven brothers end up marrying the same woman because they all die. And so they ask Jesus the question, well, in heaven, whose wife will she be? And so Jesus puts the thing straight, and he says, the people of this age marry and are given in marriage, but those who are considered worthy of taking part in the age to come and in the resurrection from the dead will neither marry nor be given in marriage. And they can no longer die, for they are like the angels. They are God's children, since they are children of the resurrection. Now, see, Jesus is constantly making statements that shake people up. And so this is a critical clarification, folks. Marriage is an institution for this age and not for the age of the resurrection. In heaven, there will be no marriage. We are all brothers and sisters. And even in the church right now, we are brothers and sisters. This is what it's all about. So the implication is that one of the primary functions of marriage, as we all know, is providing for the existence of the species and having people on the earth, right? And hopefully in Christian marriage, that's where that happens. This is what Christian marriage is all about. It's either no one as a single or one, right? So, you know, the world has it upside down. The world says when you're single, hey. And even, unfortunately, sometimes when you're married, right? But the kingdom of God, kingdom values, folks, that's what we want to do. Wouldn't it be great if the church would begin to have an impact upon this world as we elevate marriage and elevate singleness, and people begin to see us living life differently and maybe being shaken up because, my goodness, their principles are so much different than ours in the world. Jesus shows us this example by the single life that he lived. Apart from companionship and intimacy, he had companionship and intimacy. He wasn't married, but he showed us that we don't have to be apart from companionship and intimacy. Just think about Jesus' life. He had single friends. He had married friends. He was always in relationship. And of course, he was in deep relationship with his Father every day. The third part of this now is right now, folks, the church. And the primary mission of the church is to raise and nurture spiritual children in making disciples. This is what it's all about. That's where we want to see the kingdom grow. And that's our greatest mission today. So we have a mandate from Matthew chapter 28, verse 19, to expand the kingdom of God. And you see that the church will exist as a family forever. The mandate is no longer to go forth, you know, to produce and multiply in the sense of having physical children, but the mandate, my brothers and sisters, is to go and make disciples. You don't see that mandate in the New Testament that began in Genesis. Because, as I said, you know, we're on a salvation history journey, and we're in the New Testament. And listen, Jesus is coming back. This world will not go on forever. And so we are anticipating the coming of the Lord. In a book that John Piper wrote, and Barry mentions it, This Momentary Marriage, he says, the man, wife, children, families are temporary blessings for this age. In the age to come, they will not exist, but the church will exist as family forever. And this has profound implications for how singles and married people think about each other and relate to each other. Especially and exclusively, really, for the church, I think. Because who else has these values, as I said to you from the very get-go? The church is different. Christianity is the only religion that lifts up singleness and lifts up marriage. And here they are. The balance is there. It's equal. But I think we need to start living that out more and more. The question comes, well, aren't single people incomplete? I just want to really bash a myth. There's a pervasive myth in the world and in many cultures, because we have a church of many cultures, that marriage is the ideal state and that we all have some kind of a soulmate out there. And you know, this comes from Greek mythology. It states that humans originally had four arms, four legs, and a single head made of two faces. Have you ever read that in Greek mythology? The myth states that Zeus split each person in half, condemning us to spend our lives looking for our lost soulmate, or else to feel forever that something is missing. This myth has found its way, unfortunately, into Christian culture. I've heard it from the pulpit, my friends. Maybe, have you? Sometimes. In the belief that God will lead you to the only person who is intended for you. In reality, this is not a biblical injunction. We are not incomplete. We don't have another half. We are all whole. We are complete in God. So you don't need to believe this Greek mythology. This is something, folks, that can be very subtle, can't it? Our identity is based in Christ, whether we are married or whether we are single. And in fact, without an exclusive, faithful relationship with Christ, no other relationship can function. No other relationship can function well because, and we've been studying about this in our Love Song series, it's the love we receive from Him that enables us to be who we are so that we can relate to others and give to others and serve others. Christ honors the married life and He honors the single life. Being part of the body of Christ has no other requirement than to follow Jesus. He's the way, the truth, and the light. And no one comes to the Father except through Him. See, that's an exclusive relationship that each one of us must have in order to function in any relationship. So I want to encourage you today. There are some truths about singleness, however, and I just want to show those, the truths about singleness. If you would put that slide up, it's slide number 15. The family of God grows. In being single in the kingdom, you can show this. The family of God grows not by propagation through sexual intercourse, but by regeneration through the faith in Christ. Relationships in Christ are more permanent and more precious than relationships in families. And of course, it's wonderful when relationships in families are also relationships in the body of Christ. We know that. But it's not often the case, is it? Marriage is temporary and finally gives way to the relationship to which it was pointing all along, Christ and the church, the way a picture is no longer needed when you see face to face. Faithfulness to Christ defines the value of life. All other relationships get their final significance from this. No family relationship is ultimate. Relationship to Christ is. So marriage is good, and singleness is good. And I think it's time that we begin to celebrate singleness just as much as we celebrate marriage in the body of Christ. Let's all have spiritual children, whether we're married or single. Your goal when you're married is to raise your children to know Christ, isn't it? That's your primary goal. You want them to follow Christ. And we, as singles, this is our mandate from the gospel, is to reach out to others so that they might know Christ. The world needs to see that Christian marriage and singleness can be lived out differently from what the world is doing. And I want to challenge you today. I want to leave you with some challenges as we come to a close this morning in this sermon. In this whole series, there are some challenges that we want to give to you. And I would just like to invite the worship team up now. And I just want you to reflect on these. How can we love one another? By this, everyone will know that you are my disciples if you love one another. And we want to begin to show the world kingdom love. It's different, folks. Jesus shook up the picture. It's totally different from the world. The way we live in the kingdom of God is totally opposite to the way the world lives. And so let's get to know one another as brothers and sisters in Christ and practice hospitality. Hospitality is a wonderful thing. Married couples, invite singles into your home for some fellowship. Let's not separate ourselves out. I mean, of course you're going to have your married friends over. And singles, you like to spend a lot of time together. But I think it'd be great we could learn from one another. We are brothers and sisters, first and foremost, in the kingdom. And we love children. Singles love children. You know, maybe there's some couples here who don't have children yet, too. And they would love to be around families that have children. Singles, invite married couples to your next activity, your circle of friends. Let's just take a few minutes as we're worshiping now to reflect upon the fact that in the kingdom of God, we're unique. We want to elevate singleness. it's not a shame to be single. I can hold my head high because I have a relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ. And I want the world to know that. And I want you as singles to be encouraged today. I hope you have been. I hope the Holy Spirit has touched your heart and your life. And married folks, I hope the Lord has touched you as well. As you pray for your children, perhaps some of them will be single and serving the Lord. Let's let the will of God take precedence in our lives. Amen.
Thank you for listening to this week's podcast. If you would like to get in touch or find out more about The Bridge International Church, please visit our website, www.thebridgeparis.com.